Praise God. It never seems to fail that whatever I'm preaching on, I'm going to be tested on. We had some tests this week. I guess the Lord will tell us whether or not we passed. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for, we have so many things. It was so wonderful to hear the praise reports today and so many people just saying thank you. Thank you for the little things to the big things that you have blessed us so richly and given us so much. And so, Lord, as we open your word today, I just ask that our hearts will be opened as well. That we'll hear what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Have you ever experienced times when you didn't feel love and then later figured out that what happened actually was a good thing, was a loving thing?
Yeah.
We experience it first as children when parents or people who are charged with our care discipline us for things that we've done wrong, and that never feels good. And it doesn't feel good when God gets a hold of us either sometimes.
No.
But we know that he does that because he loves us.
Amen.
Sometimes love withholds things from us that we want. And that doesn't feel very much like love at the time either. But aren't you glad for the things God never let you have?
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, really?
And sometimes love withdraws. And that's a really hard one for us. I remember my mom telling me one time, just fairly recently, she never told me this before, but she told me that when I was very young, she had to allow me to run into things. And I don't know if anybody ever saw that going on, but they must have thought, what a terrible parent to let that blind kid get hurt. But she knew something. She knew that I had to learn my limits. I had to figure out how far I could go and what I could do and what I couldn't do. And the only way to get to that sometimes is to run into something once in a while. So it was really, even though it didn't look like love, it probably didn't look like love to anybody who saw it, it was a loving thing. And sometimes, love waits. And sometimes when love waits, it feels like a difference. But it's not really. Because sometimes we know that if we wait, something better is going to come. How do we respond then? Do we get disappointed? Do we get angry? Or do we trust that the Lord has something better in mind? We're going to talk today about a story that we all know very well. It's probably one of the more well-known stories in the Bible. Even people outside the church know about the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. But there's something really interesting about this story that I saw when I was reading it earlier this month that I hadn't really paid a whole lot of attention to. It's our sort of launch verse for today. It's chapter 11. And I'm going to read a little bit more out of chapter 11. I didn't put anything else up on the screen. If you want to take your Bible and follow along, we'll read just a bit here and there. But starting with verse 5 and 6, this is what it says. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Mm-hmm. He loved them, and that's the agape love, that's the self-giving love. He loved them, so he stayed. I even went and looked up the word to make sure, because you know, sometimes in the original languages, those filler words weren't always there. and they're added in by the translators to make it so we can understand. So I wanted to make sure that really that word so was a real word. And it's a real word. That's a real Greek word. It means what it means. He loved them. So he stayed. So just to back up and give a little bit of filler, Lazarus is the brother of Mary and Martha. You might remember Mary and Martha from another story. It hadn't been that long since we studied. Jesus used to go to their house a lot. You might remember in Luke chapter 10, starting about verse 38, where Martha is busy serving and Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. Mm-hmm. And Martha complains and Jesus says, no, Mary's picked the good part. I'm not going to take it away from her. This is the same Mary and Martha. It's also the same Mary, John tells us in this passage, and then again over in chapter 12, you can read about it, that anointed Jesus with the costly perfume.
Yeah.
So Mary was very devoted to Jesus. And Jesus was very close to this family. I got ahead of myself here, sorry.
You're good.
Jesus loved them, and they knew that he loved them. Because if you read in verse 3, it says, he whom you love is sick. So they truly expected, I imagine, that as soon as Jesus heard this, he's going to hurry. He's going to hurry and come. That would be the expectation, right? That's what we would do if we heard that somebody that we love is sick, even though we can't do what Jesus could do for them. That's what we would do. We would drop everything and come running. You've got to be with them. But Jesus didn't come, and Lazarus did die. But that's not the end of the story, as we all know. And Jesus is not exactly being silent about this. He's dropping clues. Here's our first one. He said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. That's in verse 4. So already there's a clue here, and the key word there is not to end in death. Why? Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He gives us another clue. He tells us that he knew what was going to happen. Because he says, starting in the middle of verse 14, after he said that the disciple, he's been going back with the disciples, he first used a metaphor that was common of the day. He said, Lazarus is asleep. They said, well, if he's asleep, he'll wake up. What do you want to go back there where they're trying to kill you? So Jesus finally had to tell him straight up, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, so that you may believe. But they didn't know yet. They didn't understand. And neither did his family understand. They're waiting. They're waiting. Where is he? And he finally arrives. He finally shows up 4 days after the man is dead. Verse 17. And Martha comes to him first in verse 21. And Mary comes to him later in verse 22. And they say, if you had been here, if you had only been here, can you hear the reproach? If he had only been here, he wouldn't have died. And even these strangers, these Jews that don't really have anything to do, they're professional mourners, they're thinking, well, yeah, he healed that blind man, couldn't he heal this guy too?
Right.
How come he didn't come around? So he's getting from all sides. Martha says something else interesting. There's so much more in this passage than we've got time to go into. But she says something interesting. Jesus gives his third, he's given a clue once again here in this interchange between he and Martha. In verse 22, She says to him, "Even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies." Well, Jesus is saying a lot more there than what's going to happen here in a few verses. But you see here Martha having some understanding. She almost seems to halfway be thinking, you could bring him back. But then when he says, yeah, he's going to rise again, she's, well, yeah, I know he's going to come back at the end. Jesus says, no, I am the resurrection of life.
Amen.
So they come to the tomb. They come to the tomb, and then we have that famous verse, 35, Jesus wept. Why is Jesus weeping? Jesus knows what he's going to do. I think the answer that I have heard a lot of people theorize on what might have been going through Jesus' mind at this point, but I believe that Jesus is grieving at their grief.
Yes.
Jesus is feeling with them. It says in verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, that's Mary, and the Jews that came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. He knows what he's going to do, but it's something we can apply to our own lives. He is not unaware of what you're going through. I was thinking this morning as I was going over this again, and I was talking to the Lord about it. So, you know, we tend to read this like a historical account, and it is. But what we forget is that the man that we're reading about in those pages is the God that is still right here, right now. And everything we read about him as being true then is true now. And when we're thinking about it and reading about it, we can talk to him about it. He's still here. He's not a dead historical figure. He's alive.
Amen.
Amen.
So then we come to the resurrection, and he says to them, "Remove the stone." Now they still didn't see it coming, what he was going to do. Because Martha says, "Hey, you know, he's been dead 4 days. You pull that stone away, he's going to stink." Jesus says, "Did I not save you?" Here's your another clue. "Did I not save you? If you believe, you will see the glory of God." And so they did it. They pulled away the stone. And Jesus says this prayer. And they removed the stone. And this, I didn't put the verse number first, but you can follow on. Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Starting in verse 41. "I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said," and he said it, "so that they would believe that you sent me." And then he called with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he did.
Amen.
The result of this, it says in verse 45, is that many of the Jews who were with them believed. So you see the good things that are now coming out of Jesus. Just wait a couple of days. Now there were some who didn't believe. In fact, there were some who plotted to kill Jesus and Lazarus because of the testimony that was to him, to who Jesus was, that they'd been risen from the dead. And you know what? It's interesting. If you look back in Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells a story about another Lazarus. you remember the story of the rich man and the poor man. The poor man's name was Lazarus. And they both died, and the rich man is in agony, and Lazarus is comforted. And the man is saying, well, send Lazarus back from the dead. Isn't that interesting? Send Lazarus back from the dead, and they'll believe him. But what does Jesus say? He's speaking for Abraham. He says, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. And sure enough, there are people there in that crowd who would not believe, even though they personally saw somebody rise from the dead. So when we read the scripture, I always like to take it back and try to apply it to our own lives today. Sometimes love doesn't look like love. Sometimes it doesn't feel like love. Just as Jesus stayed away, did exactly the opposite thing that we would have expected. And you know what? It didn't feel any better to the people that were going through it. Lazarus still got sick and died. His family still grieved over the loss that they felt that they had.
Amen.
It was still hard, and sometimes life is still hard for us.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're going to have those questions, and God may not choose to answer them. What's interesting, though, is that as you read through this story, you don't find Jesus rebuking them for their questions. It's all right to have our questions,
right.
But what Jesus does do is he demands our trust.
That's right.
And our trust requires action.
Yes, it does.
What if they had refused to roll away that stone? And they could have. They could have said, no, we're not going to do it. He stinks. We're not going to do it. Who knows what would have happened? Maybe that stone would have rolled away by itself. We don't know. But they did roll away the stone. Jesus raised up Lazarus from the dead. The other thing I already spoke a little bit about is to realize that God, Jesus loves you. And the things that happen in your life, he's not indifferent. He grieves with you. And know that. And know that that he has suffered as we suffer. He knows what you're going through. And he cares. And we see that in that story as he grieves with his friends. Even though he knows it's going to be over soon. His plan is better. This family was restored. You know, we don't really have a lot of accounts. We have the things that John saw in Revelation. Other than that, we really don't have a whole lot. We have some things that Ezekiel saw, some things that Isaiah saw about with the throne room. But we don't have a lot of information about what heaven is really like, what paradise was like before Jesus went to prepare a place for us. The people that are recorded in the Bible as having been raised from the dead, there's nothing from them about what they experienced. But I'm pretty sure that when Lazarus walked out of that grave, he had a very different perspective from when he went in there. And others believed. I'm pretty safe to say I think that others were saved after Jesus was raised up because of this event that happened right there near Jerusalem. And God was glorified. And God's glory, I'm probably going to have to do a separate study for my own benefit because I've always puzzled over God's glory. What that really means. Because when we think of glory, we think of something that's rather self-centered. We think of somebody, you know, getting all the glory, right? But God's glory is something different. And I think that God's glory is wrapped up, at least in part, in who He is and in the fact that He loves us and what He did for us. When you read Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, you kind of get that sense. I don't have a lot to say about that yet now, but I think that's going to be an interesting avenue of study for the future. How will we respond when things happen that we don't understand? Will we trust Him? Or will we become bitter and angry and disappointed? I hope we'll trust Him. Because Jesus brings life. Trust Him and act like Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for showing us life. Thank you for showing us your love in all of its forms. And as we leave here today, I pray that we will have a deeper sense of how much you love us and how much you care for us and be able to trust you that much more because of it. And if there's anyone here that needs a touch from you today, I pray that they don't leave without. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.